This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msbnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
From Vaught Hemingway Stadium, Evie Van Pelt from the Rebel Walk joining us now. Evie, hope you're doing well. Thanks for taking some time. I guess for both fan bases, both teams coming into this game, based on what we saw last weekend, Auburn falling, a disappointing loss in Columbia, and then Ole Miss, as good as that offense looked the week before versus Alabama, 6 interceptions, 7 turnovers. Matt Corral, what that looked like last weekend, I think everybody wants to forget.
Ouch. That's about all I can say. I think everybody, definitely everybody in Oxford wants to forget that game. So it's like Coach Kiffin said in his press conference Monday. He said that's pretty much the blueprint. So we better figure out quickly what to do, because SEC defensive coordinators are paid a whole lot of money to figure out how to scheme us, and I think maybe they just figured it out. So it's going to be interesting.
Well, let me ask you this, Evie, about the quarterback situation, because we've had the conversation on this show. You know, how many interceptions before you think about making a change? And so what is the status of Plumlee moving forward? Is it somebody that we might see if Corral comes out and he throws a couple interceptions or has a couple turnovers? Or is Corral Lane's guy and he's going to go with him for the rest of the year no matter what the situation is?
You know, he addressed that after the game. I think Monday, his answer in his Monday press conference was just a tad different than his answer was after the game Saturday. I guess, you know, he hadn't had a chance to look at film or anything yet. But basically what he said Saturday was, you know, a lot of people would have pulled the quarterback, but I know how it affects their confidence and their rhythm and such. And, you know, Ole Miss was in it with, 3 minutes to go in the game, had the ball down by 5 and a chance to win. So there was that. But then on Monday, again, I'm speculating, perhaps it was after he looked at the film, he said, you know, after 3 interceptions, I mean, sure, if I'd have thought he was going to throw 3 more, I would have put John in, John Rice. And so that was an interesting comment to me. And he did tell us Monday that Plumlee did get more reps in practice. And when one of the reporters said, you know, how many of those were with the ones, he said, I'm not going to answer that. So, you know, I mean, he likes to take a page, I think, out of Saban's book and kind of play things close to the vest there. So, but we do know that Plumlee has gotten more reps this week. So it will be interesting.
Evie Van Pelt, Rebel Walk, joining us here on Three Man Front, previewing Auburn and Ole Miss coming up tomorrow from Oxford, Mississippi. The defensive side of the ball, it's been rough, and we knew that it would look that way just based on the amount of talent, the numbers on that side of the ball, Evie. But for DJ Durkin, for Chris Partridge, the co-defensive coordinators, what is their plan moving forward, especially in this matchup with Auburn, where you know that the Tigers are going to try to establish the run game?
Right. I think, you know, part of it, again, this goes back to, I don't know if, you know, this is just the 2020 world of COVID that we live in, but the Rebels were missing Tarikus Tisdale, a starting defensive lineman, and then Ja'Cory Hawkins, a starting DB, for the Arkansas game, not because they were positive for COVID, but because they were close contact traced to someone who was positive. So, you know, I know that's really frustrating for the kids to sit out when they're not even positive, but he did say, you know, it's not any better and not any worse this week. So I'm not exactly sure what that means, but that will be, you know, I think that affects things as it is. We were told Monday that there are as many as 3 offensive players that have been moved to the defensive side of the ball. So that should be interesting. But basically, I mean, I think that in terms of defensively for the Rebels, I think that there are a few key things. I think take away Bo Nix's first read, which is usually Seth Williams. Find a way. I mean, it's easier said than done. Don't let Tank Bigsby beat you, you know, but that's easier said than done. He's averaging, I guess, 6.1 yards per carry. So maybe apply some pressure on first downs with some run blitzes to slow him down. I don't know, but I think definitely DJ Durkin and Chris Parker have their work cut out for them.
Evie, we're talking to Evie Van Pelt from the Rebel Walk, previewing the Ole Miss-Auburn game coming up tomorrow. At least for 3.5 quarters, it looked like it could go either way with Alabama, going toe-to-toe. It was just offensive fireworks everywhere, no defense, either side of the football for either team. But the level of expectation, you know, take us from what your readers and your followers on social media, how they were feeling, what their thoughts were after the Alabama game, and then fast forward 7 days later after the Arkansas game. How dramatic was that change on what you believe this football team can accomplish this year?
Well, I think if you're an Ole Miss fan, you're probably used to the roller coaster. You know, that being said, and especially you're used to weird things happening with Arkansas, whether it's that 4th and 25 with Hunter Henry a few years ago that kept Ole Miss out of the SEC title game, you know, I don't know. So that game, I think, you know, it was very disappointing because the Rebels felt like, you know, offense, we can outscore anybody. And you're right, in that Alabama game, I think that it was definitely obviously a loss. And as Kiffin said, you know, don't pat yourselves on the back. This is a loss. Make no bones about it. But to Rebel fans, you know, he wasn't there the year before when you lose, what, 63-7 or, you know, something just absolutely ludicrous. So you're right. I think you go from feeling like maybe we're kind of turning the corner and we have a lot of work to do, but we're competitive, to that Arkansas game. And I think it really frustrated a lot of folks. But on the other hand, the Ole Miss defense actually played its best game of the season against Arkansas. And so that was a welcome thing to see. I mean, you throw 6 interceptions and have a fumble and come away empty on 4th and goal 2 times. You don't, and, you know, throw 2 pick-sixes, you know, 2 of those. So, I mean, you probably think that you would not be down by only 5 with 3 minutes to go and a chance to win. So, you know, I mean, small comfort there. But definitely the mood was high, 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 and then low, low, low. And we're just hoping to see both on fire in the same game, I think, Ben.
Evie, away from the football field, describe, even in his first year with COVID and the pandemic and everything, how head coach Lane Kiffin is integrated there into the culture that is Ole Miss football in Oxford, Mississippi.
Oh, I think Lane, first of all, I mean, you guys, we're all on Twitter a lot, and Lane's got a very strong Twitter game. I mean, he is, I just saw a tweet earlier, I think actually he retweeted it, about the total number college football coaches generating the most interactions on their Twitter accounts in September, and he was number one, you know, at 193,000. So, you know, fully 50,000 ahead of second place. So, one, I think that he's very integrated because he's very social media savvy. Fans really appreciate him. And I tell you what I think that fans and actually media alike appreciate about him. He doesn't sugarcoat anything. So the fans aren't, you know, being frustrated watching a game where you have 7 turnovers in a, against a team that you, at least on paper, should be. No discredit to Arkansas there. I mean, Tim Pittman's done a good job, but I mean, theoretically, they should have been able to beat that team. And Kiffin does not come out and say, rah, rah, we're building for the future and it's going to be good. I mean, he just says, you know, we let one get away, you know, but he said the same thing after Alabama. He said, we're playing what I think is the best team in the country, and we had them on the ropes and we had a chance and we didn't get it done. So I think he's integrated really well. He's found just the right way, at least to me, being a pretty frequent observer, of saying, yeah, you know, we're doing some good things, but we can be a lot better.
Well, it goes as an understatement. How big would a victory against Auburn be for Ole Miss as you look towards the back half of the SEC schedule? Because with Vanderbilt coming up, you get this one against Auburn, and all of a sudden, you know, you close out that first portion, not the first half, but the first portion of the schedule with some pretty big wins.
Yeah, that would be huge. And I think that, you know, boy, if you're Kiffin and you come into it and you have no spring ball and you have a strange fall and you're a new coach with new systems and you didn't even really, like, see your players in action until fall camp, And now, oh, by the way, you're going to play an all SEC schedule, you know, with no little non-conference games. I think that has definitely been harder on the first year programs. But to your question, definitely, you know, Vanderbilt, I think would be a winnable game. And then you get a week off and then you have South Carolina at home. And I think that, you know, that is one. I think there's not a team left on the schedule that I don't think Ole Miss could beat. I think A&M is going to probably be the toughest of the ones remaining. Mississippi State, I think they're having a lot of issues, obviously, besides just with their quarterbacking situation. I think that their star running back, Kylan Hill, has had a situation there. LSU is a train wreck right now, and I hope I don't have to eat my words, but you're right. I think that this would be absolutely huge if Ole Miss could come out of Vanderbilt even 3-3 with those remaining games, South Carolina, A&M State, and LSU. I think they would have a good shot. They've got State in Oxford. And so, you know, I think definitely this is an important game, I think, for both Auburn and Ole Miss, you know, for different reasons. But Gus and his increasingly hot seat, you know, I think that it's just an important game for both.
All right, Evie, finally, this is the most important question we were going to ask you. Zombie apocalypse, three coaches from the SEC, just three coaches from the SEC you want on your side during a zombie apocalypse.
Well, obviously, I want Lane Kiffin on my team, obviously, because he will keep me entertained regardless. And I want Nick Saban, because I think that man would scare zombies. I think they would respect the Tide and Nick Saban. And other than that, I really would probably have to say maybe Coach O, just because he would provide some comic relief also.
Yes.
Yeah. Not bad choices there. You can't go wrong.
Okay.
It's Evie Van Pelt, the Rebel Walk, at Ole Miss Evie. Evie, we always appreciate you checking in. Thanks for taking time. Enjoy the game coming up tomorrow.
Okay. Thank you so much for having me. Have a great weekend.
Thank you so much, Evie. Evie joining us, along with all of our other guests, on the Bud Light Seltzer Hotline. We tell you about it every single day. And if you're enjoying the World Series tonight, maybe UAB, maybe some other college football games throughout the weekend in the NFL. Bud Light Seltzer, an easy drinking hard seltzer, just 2 carbs and 100 calories. Try it in strawberry, lime, mango, black cherry, or grab the variety pack.
This is Three Man Front.